Hello, everyone, from the floor of VMworld 2012. You're listening to the BrianMedden.com podcast, which we are now streaming live. So let's see, I've got Gabe here.
Hey, everyone. Live from the show floor, right?
Jack.
Hopefully we can hear us.
Jack is here.
Right here.
Yeah. Can you turn my microphone up, or my headphones up, I mean? Because I can't hear these guys. I don't know if that's something you can do easily. So we just got out of the day two keynotes.
We were standing around trying to distill what we saw or did not see.
Ordinarily, we would say we just got out of the EUC keynotes.
Yeah, so the day two keynote, they didn't really mention end user computing at all. There was a little bit of showing VCAC, vCenter automation.
Yeah, that was the first thing, and then there was some VCOps stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was just around the automation, the workflow kind of things that I guess people complain about. There was a lot of the Nasira stuff is now NSX and is a real product that people can use, which I think if I was into networking, this would be really badass information to have.
Yeah.
That's not really what we...
The keynote was good. It just wasn't about EUC.
Right.
So that was my bad. I just sort of assumed it was an EUC keynote.
It was called the EUC keynote. I mean, even Ruben Sprout was saying that, oh, when Joe Bagley gets up at the end, that's when it's going to be awesome. And when Joe Bagley came up at the end, we expected really great things, and then nothing really happened.
So, and Scott Davis mentioned at Briforum that they were going to have like 5 or 6 announcements that we would be excited about. So, Scott Davis, you may know, is VMware's EUC CTO. He'll be joining us here on this podcast in about half an hour. But in the meantime, we can just talk about what we heard yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, what was actually really awesome is they mentioned a few desktop-related things in the opening keynote yesterday, the main kickoff keynote. There was actually an EUC super session, they call it, which was done by Scott Davis and Mike Coleman. So he's been on our shows before and stuff.
We had him for the
Geek Out.
Geek Week.
Like 2-3 years ago. So we actually did learn a lot of new stuff about what's happening in the desktop space or in the EUC space for VMware. So we actually do have lots of stuff to talk about. So let's just kind of start going through some of those announcements.
Yeah.
The first biggest one, I think, is the fact that VMware announced that they were going to be entering the DAS market, Desktop
right.
as a Service. So you would actually be able to buy your desktops from VMware mm-hmm. as a service.
And they actually announced this yesterday at the keynote, which we normally don't pay much attention to because that's more of a data center platform-based thing. So we learned more yesterday than we did today. So now... buying, and it's not just that VMware is supporting or has a DAS platform that you can implement if you want to be a DAS provider. They're actually selling you desktops.
Yeah, so it's like you swipe the credit card and you're buying a desktop from VMware.
Yeah.
Now, here's a couple of things about this. A, just announced, not out yet. The way they talked about it is they said one of the biggest sort of trends of this show is something called a hybrid cloud. And that's the idea that, you know, if you're public cloud platform providers run the same infrastructure, the same VMware infrastructure that you are running inside your own company, then it's very easy to move back and forth, you know, like almost literally, you know, moving VMs back and forth between, you know, like bursting into the public cloud versus private cloud, and that's the hybrid combinings.
Right.
And they mentioned that in the context of VMware Horizon View. And they showed this, they talked all about how, you know, you can have like your Horizon View environment running 100 VDI desktops inside your own company, and then grow up if you need to buy for a few dollars a day or a few bucks a month, you know, desktops from them. It's all one big managed environment. That's what they had at the keynote, and we were like, oh, that is so badass and so awesome.
Yeah.
Now
we're like, this is what Citrix is trying to do with Excalibur and 10 Desktop 7, except they're making it happen.
Well, yeah.
And then
hang on. Yeah.
And Microsoft possibly with Azure.
Yeah. And but when we went to that EUC super session, now we find out, so first of all, we found out that VMware's public DAS offering will be powered by
Desktone.
Not a big surprise there. Desktone has been making software that's VMware powered to power other DAS cloud environments.
Frankly, a responsible decision by VMware not to try to roll their own, announce it, and then not deliver it in 2 years.
Yeah.
So they took something that's established, and now they've built a solution around it. However, how useful that solution is the thing that's debatable.
Yeah, because here's the thing, VMware's, this Desktone offering, this is not VMware View in the cloud. This is Desktone with the VMware logo on it being sold to you. So basically you can buy Desktone through VMware, but all this super awesome, you got some local Horizon view in your environment and cloud Horizon view, and it's a hybrid, all that.
Right, we're bursting workloads when we need to. And yeah.
That's not there.
No, what this is, I think, and we'll get some more clarification from Scott, who's right there already, is template syncing. Basically, we can make sure that our desktop templates that are hosted in our private cloud are already pre-staged in our DAS offering so that we can spin them up as needed, which not all that exciting.
So what's the network?
Yeah, and so you can't ask us questions right now because we're actually broadcasting live, so you talk to them. this is why we need a speaker. We can broadcast this to all the people standing by.
A portable, like, on-air light.
We have a speaker.
Have in the studio.
So last year we didn't own a speaker. This year we own a speaker, but we do not have it here.
We need
next year.
Big micro. We need a sign that says, don't talk to us. Actually, sure. I need a t-shirt that says that, and I'm wearing it all day.
I am unapproachable right now.
But you can just remove
stay back 100
right now
feet.
From that. You guys, by the way, please no profanity in the chat room. Like, come on, be cool. So let me just delete that.
You guys. I mean, you guy. you, so, comma, guy. Please, no profanity.
So, but the thing is, so the vision, we're talking about the Desktone Cloud, the vision of the cloud bursting and the hybrid cloud is awesome, but I feel like, you know, we've been burned in the past 2 years at VMworld about VMware announcing all this kind of cool stuff and then being way down the road. They said the Desktone VMware offering is not even out yet. And then, in the future, they'll try to rewrite mm-hmm. Horizon View or Desktone or a combination of both and bring them together so it's the same infrastructure or it's the same, everything can go back and forth. But right now, it's not.
So to be fair, they told us about the DAS solution in the keynote yesterday morning. And then by 5 or 6 p.m. yesterday, we had all that stuff worked out. So it's not like we had to wait a year and have many frustrating phone calls and articles written to get to the bottom of exactly how this is working. So at least we're getting it done quicker.
I asked Scott in that session how they're handling Microsoft Windows licensing. And his answer was, obviously you know there's no SPLA for Windows desktop. Mm-hmm. So either A, use Windows Server OS with single user, on a one-to-one basis. So it's like using RDSH for just one user per VM, which is kind of funny because VMware's own marketing literature that's bashing RDSH talks about
RDSH
how it's a server OS. You don't have the same compatibility and all this kind of stuff.
You just use a server OS person.
So now they're kind of validating, like, they got to delete some of those lines from their marketing stuff.
Well, but single user server instances, though.
But they talk about in their marketing how it's a server OS to have the same compatibility, the same software, because some software applications will see your server license and they're not
going to
run.
Don't have to retract the bits that they have in there about RDS based on this.
Yeah. Or he said it can be dedicated hardware, which again, granted, that's something for them to worry about as a cloud provider, but it's kind of funny how... it's all virtual. It's everything is moving all around. Oh, dedicated hardware per client.
Per
if you're a customer with 500 users, they can give you, six
so
servers.
We'll ask them, but I wonder what the take is on where you draw the line for dedicated hardware. Because if you ask some folks, dedicated hardware only counts compute. And some people think that storage also has to be dedicated to a client in a DAS environment. And I'm not sure... I don't know why people are in one camp or the other. This seems like something we could easily get an answer for, but we know about dealing with Microsoft licensing.
This is one of the reasons I quit the MVP program, because their licensing is so BS.
Yeah.
Because in today's virtual storage environment, even what is dedicated storage? I mean, all these storage vendors here at the show are doing storage pools. It's lots of nodes. Everything lives everywhere. And so that's the first thing. So like I said, the concept of VMware getting into the DAS space is awesome. But it's not. This is not VMware View in the cloud. This is this is Desktone. Now, do you think Citrix does something like this now?
I don't know. So Citrix has been working with all these other providers.
Everyone except Desktone. Well, I guess Desktone.
Probably
has
Desktone
too,
even. Too. Because Desktone is. If you ask Desktone if they're running viewers and desktop, they're saying we're running whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So and since Desktone is a platform that DAS providers can use to deploy their solution, much like 2Cloud is now. It's just, this is the platform. If you want to be a DAS provider, you can use this framework to do that. So you can use Desktone for Zen Desktop as well. The thing is, I don't see Citrix actually selling desktops. I think they'll just leverage all the partners that they have for that. But who knows? Maybe in response to this, there's always been a tit for tat kind of mutual assured destruction going on.
So that was the first thing. The other sort of announcement that's kind of cool was a broader announcement from VMware, but absolutely has applicability in the desktop space. It's something called vSAN. And so this is going to be a new feature of vSphere 5.5, just built right into the product. There's no separate license.
Not maybe true. So there was some. We were given some information yesterday about vSAN that said that vSAN was going to be only storage, and that it would be included with vSphere. So that you couldn't run compute and storage on the same hosts, and that it would just be included with vSphere. It turns out they haven't decided yet how they're going to price that out, but it probably will be a separate license.
Oh, like VMware vSphere Enterprise or whatever.
Right,
or
and since Scott's a storage guy, we can probably get to the bottom of that with him as well.
Yeah.
And also, it is a storage and compute solution. Because really, all we're doing is leveraging the hardware, the disks on the device, and there's still tons of CPU resources freed up, CPU memory resources freed up to host virtual machines. So vSAN is actually, sounds like, a direct competitor of these storage and compute combined solutions like V3, Nutanix, Pivot3, these guys. Now, they're maybe not as feature-rich. I mean, there's some other ones here like SimpliVity that has inline deduplication now in combined with the storage and the compute on the same box. And so there's definitely solutions out there that are more mature. All the Nutanix and Pivot and V3 and all of them, they're all more advanced technology-wise. But if this is really, really cheap and just kind of attached to vSphere, it's going to be hard to beat free or cheap.
And vSAN is all about local storage. So it's like you fill up your individual servers with SSDs or magnetic or whatever, and it kind of figures out the whole thing.
Yeah. I gesture a facepalm like we're on video here, but this is the year that VMware decided to agree with us.
Oh, on EptiSAN? Well, speaking of...
And I'm persistent.
Speaking of VMware agreeing with us, so one of Scott's... In Scott's super session yesterday... When he was talking about this thing called VDI 2.0. Mm-hmm. He said VDI 1.0 was like the VDI from the 5 years ago through this year, basically. VDI 2.0, he said, is a lot more broadly applicable because of two major enhancements. One, 3D graphics and graphics fidelity with the user experience you can deliver down to your users. And two, these storage improvements that allow you to do things like full clones, which is their word for persistent desktops, mm-hmm. but they can't use the word persistent desktop, which is exactly what Gabe, Jack, and I have been harping on since we wrote the original VDI Delusion last year.
You elbowed me during that, when he said those things in that order, like, oh, I think he saw the Briform keynote.
And they even talked about how linked clones kind of have downsides, because if you refresh a clone, then you lose all the user settings and user installed apps and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's exactly what I've been talking about for the past 5 years, and they always gave me crap because they said that, you just didn't have everything and it doesn't matter, and all of a sudden, and now that they have a solution that can do that, oh, look how funny that is. They suddenly agree with us.
Well, and now there's even a podcast that we're going to post on brianmadden.com after we record it tonight or this afternoon, that's a debate about persistent and non-persistent desktops. And guess who's on the persistent side of this debate? Andre Libovici, of the CTO office.
Of VMware.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to get into this debate right now. We'll have that podcast will be posted in a couple of days. But the point is, it is cool that now they're saying, oh, VDI wasn't so great for everything, but now we've got 3D graphics, which we all love. We've got this storage that can do, if you want full clones, then we now have that. So that's a very cool thing. So the whole VDI 2.0, that was something that was kind of cool. Now the other thing in this whole end user computing, because it's not just desktop virtualization, it's end user computing. Where are we in the mobility space? Because Jack, VMware has Horizon Mobile, which is like a hypervisor for Android that allows you to run multiple Android VMs.
Right.
But they didn't. Did they talk about anything mobile-wise here today or yesterday?
No, they mentioned nothing at all. They did. They did show the the Horizon Workspace app, and they showed using that to access a desktop.
And talked about a little bit about data. And so at that point, I was like, oh, here we go.
Is that time?
Get happy.
Yeah. But of course, the last 2 months in the mobile space, the big deal has been talking about iOS 7. And, as we know, VMware had announced that they were going to be having, a mobile app management app wrapping, containerization, whatever you want to call it, solution. But about 4 weeks ago, well, of course, as I've written extensively on now, the deal with iOS 7 is that you can get, you know, app management features that were previously only available by modifying apps, and instead enabled by the operating system. Mm-hmm. So since VMware, you know, they hadn't released their iOS solution yet, they said, like, you know, there was that blog post from Srinivas that says, like, okay, we see that, you know, iOS 7 is going to give us another way to do this without having to, you know, rule our own, so we're going to go with that.
So the app wrapping solution that came out, that they announced last year, never actually came out.
Right.
Okay. And then, so this year, we were talking last week about what do we expect at VMworld, and we were talking about maybe we'll see VMware take the same strategy they have with iOS with Android, like none of this virtualization, like virtualized Android instance crap. We're actually going to add SDK-based app wrapping.
Yeah.
And they instead just abandon all app wrapping? Is that safe to characterize it that way?
It's, you know, I have to look at the exact language in the blog from Srinivas, and, you know, we'll be talking about this on tomorrow. I have that, you know, like mobility session with Scott and with Srinivas, okay, and with another guest to provide, you know, the corporate perspective.
Well, and I believe that I have a half-hour meeting with Ben Goodman tomorrow, too. And Ben's your contact, right?
Yeah.
For mobility,
yeah.
So feel free to tag along to
that. We'll get a good story. You know, we'll get some videos, maybe. But, of course, so you know, that's a perfectly, you know, pragmatic way of, you know, of
yeah, it's just out of left field
and
from what we were thinking would happen to what actually happened. And there's nothing wrong with that because the functionality is now there.
Yeah. We formulated our opinions before we knew what about iOS 7.
And now, as bloggers, we will reformulate them again.
Yeah.
So Scott's joined us now. So thanks for coming to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Brian. Always good to talk with you guys, you, Gabe, and Jack.
I think you've been on this podcast before at VMworld, maybe a year or two ago, with Brian Gamage, I think, was here that year
as
well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, there's been a couple things we heard yesterday in the opening keynote on the EDC space, and then I was telling everyone who's listening that the three of us also attended that the EDC super session that you and Mike did yesterday.
Yep.
And so we've got a whole bunch of questions.
Fair enough.
and I don't know if we should just go through it. Maybe we'll let you start. I mean, just kind of give us, you know, you're the CTO for the EUC group at VMware.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So just, you know, give us, we talked about high-level vSAN, the hybrid cloud with the VMware DAS offerings, your whole VDI 2.0 messaging, that kind of stuff. But maybe, kind of what's your take on VMware and EUC space right now?
Well, you know, as Pat said in the keynote, you know, VMware is one of the three pillars of what we're investing in is EUC. And there's no better indication of our investment in EUC than building out of its own direct sales force for EUC. You know, so we've added somewhere between 200 and 300 heads worldwide for a dedicated field resources for EUC.
So there's literally 200 or 300 sales reps
just selling EUC.
And that's all the Horizon suite. So that's Mirage, View, Workspace, Mobile.
It's all those technologies. So there's three pillars within EUC that I talked about in each of these things. And depending on how you talk about it, I sometimes talk about it as two pillars, one of which has two parts. But the two halves of it are Horizon Workspace, which is the multi-device mobile workspace. And we were talking about version 1.5 of that, which we actually launched about a month ago on that. So that's the first one that integrates the Horizon mobile technology in. So this is the Android virtual machines. And folks were expecting us to have iOS in that as well, by the way. We've been talking about here that, you know, we, like the rest of the industry, like we talked with Jack about here, when Apple changed their game with the iOS 7 primitives, so we're taking those into account. We're busily working towards that, you know, in that platform. But that platform is about delivering a virtual identity, applications through a common portal. So it's been Windows apps, Windows desktop, SaaS apps. Now it's also mobile apps as well. And the Horizon Data component that gives you enterprise-grade sync service. Then the other half of our EUC portfolio is what I call Windows as a Service, which is Horizon View is the big bulk of that, and that's VDI. We know all about VDI, you know, running Windows in a virtual machine in the data center, remoting the user interface. investing a lot in that. The solution's been maturing a lot. You know, the gas announcement here was the big thing we were talking about, but I certainly gave a sneak peek at some other things and how we're leveraging the SDDC technology, which is one of the big messages here. And then there's Mirage, with that's always been physical desktop management, and now we're showing how it can be used with Vue. We've made the changes to it to enable it to be used at scale with Vue.
Okay, so there's a question. That phrase "at scale" is like what we sort of butted heads on 6 months ago or so, because I've been a big fan of using Mirage as my Windows desktop sort of layering management platform.
Yep.
But one of the big limitations of the past was it only worked for physical. So you had to have two different management methodologies for your Horizon View desktops and your physical desktops. You talked in your super session yesterday about using Mirage with inside View VMs.
Yeah.
Is that something that, like, is that there now? Is this forthcoming?
So it's forthcoming. It's something that always worked. It worked in onesies or
twosies.
It just
wasn't supported.
Well, the reason it wasn't supported is because, you know, customers don't want to run it for onesies and twosie VMs. You have to look at what Mirage was designed for. Great technology. That's why we bought it.
We're on record. But, we love Mirage. That was a good move.
But the reason it was designed originally for burning client IOPS, so in other words, running on a physical system where you're doing one background load of the image and the traffic associated with it, and it's going to use a lot of compute cycles in order to offload the WAN traffic. So it's trying to minimize, in the case where you're doing like a branch office or a WAN kind of deployment, it's burning computes and IOPS to minimize the traffic on the wire. That's absolutely the right decision for that use case.
Yeah.
But now picture VDI. Well, it's not that it's a VM. It's that it's hundreds of VMs at once.
Right.
The worst thing to do in that situation is to burn computes in the data center all at once in order to save bandwidth that's prevalent within the data center. Because remember, on the VDI case, the VMs are co-located with the data repository for Mirage.
Yeah.
So we had to make some tweaks to how Mirage works for it to work at scale. And that's what I mean by at scale. It always worked, though, on onesies and twosies.
Oh, sure. There's a crash on install or anything.
It's not that it doesn't work. It's just that it's severely, you know, it can saturate the storage fabric. It can saturate the computes. It can hurt your consolidation ratio. So we've been making changes for those use cases.
So is there a new version of Vue coming out? Like, there's no versions of Vue announced at the show, right?
Right. You know, we've been pretty open with our Vue release strategy, and then I'll come back to the Mirage question in a moment.
Okay, yeah.
So the changes here are in Mirage to enable this, by the way. So
it's not like vSAN making it work on the back end or something?
No, this is changes in Mirage to enable these use cases. And the release cadence for Vue, we've moved to the following. We've separated out, used to be that we shipped monolithically, but a few years ago, we switched to the client releases, and now we have something called CART. And Unity Touch, that we showed the first version of last year and then shipped pretty quickly after that, was the first beneficiary of CART. So CART stands for, we all like our acronyms, right? CART stands for Client and Agent Release Train, okay? So that means we are shipping the clients along with the Vue agent that runs in the guest OS as an independent entity. And we actually have a quarterly release of that. So things that only require changes in the guest OS component in Vue can now ship on a quarterly cadence. And for the main view, which requires large-scale testing and typically goes along with vSphere, that's like one release per year or slightly longer, but that's general broad brush. So we shipped 5.2 earlier this year, okay? So you can expect that we're not talking about a main release of view this calendar year. You should expect, you know, the next major release of view will be sometime next calendar year.
Okay. And then the Mirage part. Do we have to wait for the next major release of Vue to get Mirage scalability within Vue, or is Mirage a separate release cycle?
Mirage has a separate release cycle. They've been doing also approximately quarterly. Okay, well, they're slightly longer than quarterly, but again, I'm talking broad brush here on schedule, not holding me to the day. But so there's a new release of Mirage that will enable the Vue functionality. It'll actually come in two different quarterly releases. The first one will enable a Mirage on full clones that I demoed in the super session yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
The second release after that is our intention. Again, I'm not making product commitments on dates, but the intention is there's a couple of additional things we need to do for running Mirage on link clones. And our current plan is that that'll be a subsequent version. Okay.
So,
but it's Mirage that needs to change to enable these use cases.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in the manner that I talked about, there's several attributes of things in the scaling of the product that we need to adjust for those use cases.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the VMware DAS offering. So just to be 100% clear, VMware is getting into the business where you buy your hosted desktop from VMware. And I swipe my credit card and I visit a web portal or from my iPad and I'm getting my Windows desktop coming from VMware.
Yep. And we're also announced two things though yesterday. The press release that went out this morning talked about both a public cloud DAS with all our service provider partners with vCloud, and it talked about hybrid cloud DAS. Okay, and we think the time is right, for DAS, Windows desktops as a service. This value to virtual desktops particularly have new strategic value in delivering, desktops and apps to tablets. That's part of a big trend we see. And we see that there are customers, while Enterprise View has lots of traction, lots of sales, we don't want one size fits all. Some customers don't want to stand up that infrastructure. I mean, cloud is getting more and more popular. We especially love the idea of hybrid cloud with DAS, because I mentioned in the talks, a desktop by itself is kind of useless if you don't have access to the corporate services like email and the corporate LAN that you want to access from the desktop. So you need to have both of those seamlessly. So we think it's a great fit for the hybrid cloud.
Well, I've always been on board, and I've been on record by saying, I think I wrote an article, that if you have less than 1,000 desktops, it doesn't make sense for you to build that VDI yourself, because you cannot build it more cheaply than a giant provider who's building, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of these kinds of things.
Right.
So the concept of people paying for the desktop as a service, I'm way on board with.
Right.
Now you're partnering with Desktone.
Yes.
To deliver the, is it called VMware DAS, or I don't know what the?
I think we called it VMware Hybrid Cloud Services for DAS.
Yeah, okay, so
something that really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. not your decision. the vision is the DAS desktops in the public cloud and the Horizon View components for your virtual desktops in your private cloud, the vision is that system becomes one of the same and you can literally sort of cloud burst your local desktops up to the public cloud. That's what this whole hybrid cloud is. It shouldn't make a difference.
Well, there's some nuances there, so let me review the nuances. So from an end-user point of view, they won't be able to tell the difference. If you've got a desktop that's running in the public cloud, the hybrid cloud, or the private cloud, it's exactly the same. It's
workspace,
the view client.
Horizon Workspace to access it and everything?
It's the view client. Okay, I want to finish the thought. So it's the view client. It's all the capabilities in the view client. So the UC capabilities in the view client, Unity Touch on the tablets. It's your view client, it's indistinguishable, okay? The back end, though, how things are stood up on the back end is different in the two right now, okay? So view was designed to run in the enterprise. It's not multi-tenant. It actually, under the covers, accesses vCenter APIs directly. It's designed for enterprise deployments. The cloud, you want on-demand multi-tenancy. You want strict separation. So you want to be able to have the multi-tenant aspects wants to be visible to the service provider, but not visible to an IT administrator running at the corporation. Okay?
Right.
So the public, the new offerings we're talking about here today are the public and hybrid cloud offering. So you can do desktops, but if you are running an on-prem view deployment, okay, those two are managed separately today. Those are two separate offerings. Now, in the fullness of time, it would obviously also be good, we think it's good to extend view to the cloud as well. But that's a separate use case.
And so really what it is, the announcement is you're white labeling Desktone, essentially. Because Desktone has always provided view client.
It looked like, by the demo today, it looked like there was some basically template synchronization to pre-stage your VM templates in the public cloud side. So maybe that's the level of integration that we see right now?
No. The demo that I showed yesterday, showed us delivering and standing up desktops with a template at the enterprise. They were selecting templates, and those templates were then deployed into the service provider's cloud with the seamless portals, and we showed the two views of the portals.
Okay.
Okay? So that was what we showed there.
So that's the integration level right now with the Desktone solution. And
so we have always been, I want to clarify a couple of things here because I don't agree with the white label kind of thing, okay? We've been partnering with Destone for a while, okay? There's multiple public cloud deployments that want the view user experience with DAS. You know, the Dell Cloud does that, the Navisite, et cetera. There's quite a few of them. We actually built an enabling piece of technology that we first debuted on the VMworld Labs about 2 years ago called ViewAgent Direct Connect. And what ViewAgent Direct Connect is it's a component that sits in the guest OS with Vue, and it enables you to connect without the enterprise-grade Vue product, okay? So it lets you connect with a third-party broker. Okay. And we did that for two reasons. One was that was our first foray, if you will, you know, first toe in the water on enabling DAS with vCloud Director. And in particular, we made that available to Destone so that they could do a Vue user experience with their DAS offering.
Okay.
So we've been jointly working with Destone all along. And any of these cloud providers, I mean, there's revenue coming back to VMware on each of the desktop as a service seats. So it's not like this is, so it's a joint offering.
Okay, but is there any technical difference between buying DAS from VMware versus buying DAS from someone else who's using Destone, or it's the same products in the
back end? The thing that we're going to sell is we're going to stand up our hybrid cloud offering with vChez using vCloud Director. Okay, so that's a VMware unique offering, and although that offering is working in conjunction with service providers, that's something that you buy from VMware. So the hybrid cloud one is VMware.
But
branded.
Now, don't you need to wait? So that doesn't require waiting for kind of like view in the cloud, like this
no.
is separate from. So what is the like from a desktop view standpoint? What is the hybrid cloud product offering?
So the key thing for the hybrid cloud is running on the vChez infrastructure, which is going to set up when you buy vChez from VMware.
vChez is vCloud hybrid.
vCloud hybrid services. I'm sorry, I'm using the pronunciation of the acronym. So. That is the VMware Hybrid Cloud Services. So that's data center resources that we're standing up for cloud that integrates with your on-prem vSphere deployment, so common management and all. And the key thing there is that we're enabling seamless direct access to those desktop services that I mentioned earlier. So the important thing to add there, Brian, is to be able to have access to email, your corporate VPN, all easily from the desktops. That's the difference between a hybrid cloud and a public cloud DAS. Public cloud DAS, you're setting up desktops, but unless you've also put things you want to access from the desktops, made those easily accessible, it's not all that useful.
So the vChez is kind of like the organization has other servers that are doing their email and file servers and stuff, and those are also...
No, the hybrid cloud seamlessly links with your on-prem services. So hybrid cloud gives you it's like the desktops you provisioned are in the cloud, but you're automatically on the corporate
land. It's like built-in VPN sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the components of the hybrid cloud offering.
Okay.
So that's the difference here. So a public cloud DAS today is a good stepping stone. There's good traction there. It's if you want to turn purchase of a desktop into an OPEX cost instead of a CAPEX cost, and if you don't want to pay for the infrastructure. But a desktop in and of itself is not all that useful unless you have access to whatever else you're running the corporation with.
Yeah. So in your super session yesterday, you showed off a couple other upcoming features. One of them was the ZenApp integration. Which is something that originally was mentioned, was it last year at VMworld or 2 years ago?
Yes, Steve Herrod mentioned it last year. We didn't show it. He mentioned it on a slide. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, from the beginning, we tried to, with Workspace, to do agile development. So we said we were going to do that. We launched version 1 in February. We launched version 1.5 about 6 weeks ago now. Okay, so that's 6 months later. We have a second version. And we're busy little beavers in engineering working on the next version. Okay, and we showed off a couple of things here that we expect, will be part of, a soon version of Workspace. And one of them is a ZenApp connector, the ability to include Zen. And yes, I was doing a little shtick on the... on stage, but we know that customers want to embrace, if you have a common application catalog, you need to be open, you need all forms of applications, and ZenApp is a big thing in our customer base that people want to add to that technology.
Do people connect to it via HDX then, and the Citrus receiver?
Yeah, they use Citrus
receiver. And so you're brokering that actual connection?
Yeah, it's actually hooking into the MMC plugin, so it's not just brokering, it's also doing the Horizon portal management for Citrix apps. So you're really managing your Citrix farm, that set of apps, through the portal. And when you click on connect
them, you're managing ZenApp, publishing the applications. All of the ZenApp management was done through through Gusevich.
So we didn't announce availability. I see it says win on there. So we didn't announce availability, but I showed a preview of it. Okay, so we are working on it. It will be available soon.
They've just been asking the chat room before we get too far away from the hybrid cloud services thing. Is there a cost? Have you guys figured that out yet?
No, that's TBD. We're not ready yet to talk about pricing. But
somewhere between zero and $900 per user. Okay.
We didn't announce pricing yet, but Pat announced that it will be available before the end of the year.
Okay.
So
how about, do you know yet, like architecture, like all the 3D stuff, or are you going to be able to buy VMware DAS with the NVIDIA cards and get?
That's not determined yet. Okay, we showed a lot of the three. You know, like I said, with any of these, it's the vanilla view client. That's an attribute of the server backend. So it depends. We haven't decided that yet.
Another question, and we talked about this a little bit. The question that I asked you in the super session is about Microsoft desktop licensing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I quit the Microsoft MVP program because I'm so pissed off on their licensing.
Yeah.
And so, if you or any of your colleagues ever think that I have anger towards VMware, let me tell you, it is fractional percentages of my anger towards Microsoft on their Windows desktop licensing.
Yeah,
so I want to say for this, I'm on your side 100% that it's bullshit.
Yeah.
That we as an industry all have to navigate this. But how are you thinking that VMware's offering will navigate the Microsoft desktop licensing?
Well, the simple answer is it's bring your own license. DAS is bring your own license today. Microsoft has caused that. You're exactly right. It's it's their attitude. It's their policy. So it's bring your own license. Now, there are all kinds of nuances that I started answering longer during the super session about. I know you're well aware of all those ramifications also. But so that's how it works. Now, hybrid cloud, though, actually makes this easier than public cloud does. Because in the hybrid cloud, if you have a bulk license, a lot of commercial enterprise customers have bulk licensing for Windows OSs, you can actually use that same mechanism to deliver those licenses to the instances that you're going to deploy in the hybrid cloud. So it makes it a bit easier by knitting it together with the processes. It still doesn't solve the problem, though. It's still Microsoft's policy, and we're not doing anything to work around their policy.
So another thing is, we talked about, I think this is a question someone brought up, and I think the guy who asked the question yesterday used the word app streaming, but where he really meant remote apps. But do you see VMware going in the space of delivering single seamless windows out of the data center? And I don't know if that's an RDSH-based like XenApp thing, or maybe it's like a kind of VDI.
Per app VMs.
Yeah, per app VMs or like a VDI with seamless windows. Like, if I have my Horizon workspace and I've got a whole bunch of like web apps and SaaS apps and everything, but I just need a Windows app where I click on Word and Word pops up just by itself without the desktop background and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's something that VMware needs to add on, or do you just look to XenApp to deliver that?
It's a good question, Brian. We're not announcing anything like that today. I'll definitely say that with the with the advent of tablets and I know we're of like mind on this, the receding of importance of Windows desktop, but the long tail of Windows apps wanting to be delivered to heterogeneous platforms, technology of delivering just applications, served up applications, becomes strategic to enterprises. Okay, now apps are evolving, people are building mobile apps as well, native mobile apps. I've talked about this with Jack around HTML5 versus native tablet apps. So we're very customer focused, and we have a lot of technology in this space. And I'm not in a position to announce or talk about what we may or may not be building in the labs behind the scenes. But we're very cognizant of use cases, and we'll see how things go.
Speaking of mobile, I'm confusing now what we talked about versus what we talked about with Scott. Did we talk about mobile, like iOS and Android, and what's happening there?
We talked about that before Scott got here. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we saw that obviously iOS 7 is the talk of the mobile space right now. And
right.
We saw the blog post about a month ago from Srinivas.
Yep.
And, going with, obviously, iOS 7 provides a lot of valuable stuff that you don't have to worry about. Rolling your own third-party mobile app management in a lot of use cases. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. That's like a big present from Apple.
Well, you know, we have to see all the details. The devil's in the details. NDA or before.
Yeah, this disclaimer that all of these conversations have had about this for the last couple of months.
There's no question, though, that Apple changed the game. I mean, Apple controls their platform. iOS is tightly coupled. There's things we're not allowed to do on iOS across the board. Nothing to do with mobile. I mean, one of the other questions I got asked in the session was, "Oh, what about remoting, you know, Mac OS?" You know, that's another question where, I mean, so Apple definitely controls their platform, and that's their right, okay? We had been working on, I mean, we knew from the beginning that it's critically important. Nobody wants to buy a mobile management platform that only manages Android. You need to manage iOS as well. So we were working on an iOS solution. We actually previewed it at VMworld last year. It was in my session. Craig Newell came up and showed what we were working on. When Apple announced their new philosophy there, you know, if you're going to be in the Apple ecosystem, you have to embrace what they're doing in the base platform. So we scrapped what we had, which was actually pretty much ready to go, and we instead are now working through the details of the new iOS 7 capabilities. Apple is not like Microsoft. There's no looming end of life for iOS version 4 that's going to force a mass migration. Everyone jumps on the new versions of iOS.
So you really need to
embrace the latest and greatest. And Apple has done a lot of stuff there. We'll see how complete and comprehensive it is or not. But they've definitely been adding capabilities, and you know they're listening to enterprise customers in that way.
Yeah. Yes. And so for the places, and this is perhaps a more nuanced conversation that might be good for the conversation that. So tomorrow, the mobile session with you and myself and Srinivas and a customer coming in as well.
Yeah.
So like the cases where like the Apple primitives for mobile app management may not be enough to suit all use cases. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to look at what they gain and what the pain is for it. I mean, if you step back and you look at the technologies before around app wrapping and having to deploy apps from separate stores and things, you know, that was cumbersome.
Okay?
Yeah, vendors were doing it, but that's cumbersome. So if you have a solution that gives you, you know, 80 or 90% of that, but it's seamless and easy and all apps just work within the App Store, you know, simplicity wins, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to look at the value of one-off features and what the impact is of implementing those features. Now, personally, I think this space is very fast-moving. So this is me personally, and I'll make these comments on the... I'll always differentiate when I'm talking about me personally as opposed to speaking on behalf of VMware. I mean, I'm intrigued in the mobile management space that I don't think we've seen the end of anything yet, okay?
Yeah.
You know, this is a fast-moving, evolving space, and I'm very much intrigued by mobile content management in particular, of managing data elements and not managing applications per se.
So, as a quick side note, so TechTarget, for the seventh year in a row now, is... been asked by VMware to deliver the best of VMworld judging and awards. I'm actually the MC of that, and that starts in 15 minutes, so I need to drop off right now. You've got another 5 minutes or so in the show, so I want to leave you guys with this. The question I want to ask you, which I'm going to have to listen to in the recording later on, is, so from your role in the CTO office, so what do you see as VMware's challenges in the end-user computing space? And I'll take my answer offline.
Okay.
So what do you see?
Brian's handing in the headset, running off to go MC.
And we're actually going to end in about 5 minutes because we need to take all of this recording rig and go over there.
So what do I see as the challenges in the end-user computing space? Well, like any business, I mean, A, things are moving really quickly and changing really quickly. Okay. So one thing is just being able to innovate quickly enough on pace with the industry. I mean, that's a challenge. We've invested a lot in EUC. We've invested in a dedicated sales force. We're doing big business. If you listen on our financial analyst calls now when they do the quarterly earnings, Pat talks about EUC separately. Okay, so that's an important milestone. So it's a big, important business. I guess the biggest challenge is just being able to innovate and bring things to market fast enough to cover the broad space of EUC. It's moving so fast, especially with the changes in like consumerization and cloud applications and things.
It's probably trying to find the right balance too, because I feel like in the past, and this is both a VMware and a Citrix thing, in the past, there's been a lot of hype surrounding products that were announced and not, by the time it came around to delivering, like the iOS app wrapping solution, by the time you get there, all of a sudden there's not a need for that anymore. You know, so there's been some other things. AppBlast, the whole way that was delivered changed. And so Blast has a place in the world, but AppBlast hasn't really found a home. Right. There's been a lot of things like that that we've seen from both, like I said, both VMware and Citrix. And so this year, both companies have kind of dialed it back a little bit,
right,
which is good because now we're not talking about all these awesome things that, and maybe pissing off people later on because they don't show up or they, you know, they don't expect or they don't get this product that they expected. So in that way, it's very good. In another way, we, you know, there's an EUC keynote today that only had a little bit about the EUC stuff, but it's all good stuff. So I feel like it's there's a balance that you guys have to strike.
Yeah, you're definitely right. We made a concerted effort to show, you know, near term stuff more instead of the splashy, exciting stuff like I've been guilty of showing in the past.
Yeah,
and the keynote. We've
been guilty of hyping.
It's still cool stuff.
And
we're techies. We like to see cool stuff.
Exactly.
But it is all about, though, delivering solutions that customers want to pay for in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get better and more predictable at that. And the keynote today, I mean, the focus here at the show was the software-defined data center, the storage innovations, the network innovations. And I tried to weave all those together. I hope I did a good job of that because they're very important to EUC. Mm-hmm. Weaving them together with both the blog post I did today on the VDI 2.0 concept, okay? And it's really about knitting all these things together, and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Well, and so yesterday that sort of lifted the NDA, right? That session from 5 to 6 yesterday that you did with Mike, that sort of lifted the blanket off of VDI 2.0 and all of the Mirage, things like that. So so if we didn't get to something here during this podcast or on Twitter or anything that we've done so far, check out Scott's blog post then.
Yeah.
I want to check. Brian took his laptop, so I don't have the chat room available. I don't know if there's any final questions for the chat room or from the chat room. Not really. It's pretty much just Guy talking about stuff.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask me, or you want to end it?
No, I think we're good. So thank you so much for coming along. So I'm sure you've got a busy day. I know our day is really busy as well, running around and talking to folks. So is vSAN and the Horizon, I can't remember the acronym already, the hybrid cloud services, is that stuff being shown over in the expo hall or the booth in that?
Hybrid cloud, yes, vSAN.
Yeah. Hybrid cloud, yes, vSAN, no? Okay. All right, well, you know, we'll back up our stuff. We'll go do the awards ceremony, and then we'll go check all that stuff out. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Gabe.
For coming out.
Thanks so much. We'll give a final plug to see you tomorrow on the panel.
Sounds great. Look forward to it, Jack.
All right, and then so that wraps up this podcast. We're gonna record another one later that does not involve any of us, but we'll have Andre Libovici, Sean Bass, and two other people who I can't remember arguing persistent versus non-persistent. Yeah. I am really happy, A, to have this podcast on our site and also to not be participating in it because I'm tired of arguing about it.
Yes.
You want me to comment on it for a moment?
Yeah, what the heck? Go ahead.
Okay, sure. So one of the key things about the VDI 2.0 concept and the sum being greater, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts is we're now at a point where we can actually separate image management from storage needs of VDI. That's one of the key points here. And there's use cases for both. It's not one or the other, but we used to try to force fit one because of storage issues and being too not cost effective enough.
Oh,
with the advent of vSAN and with partner storage things, you can now tease these apart and do the right solution for image management and the right solution for storage and not make them be one decision.
You have no idea how happy that makes us to hear VMware saying that kind of thing now. So awesome. Well, so I'm looking forward to seeing how VDI 2.0 comes out. I'm looking forward to hearing this podcast later. I'll probably lurk in the background and heckle. But cool. Well, let's wrap this up, move our recording rig, and we'll carry on.
Okay,
thanks,
great.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.